Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, things are only going to heat up, and in lots of different ways. The presidential election is about to heat up because by the time we're done with this summer, the politicking and the rhetoric will be through the roof. And that's only because next year is the presidential election. And so the push for the primary begins. And so the positioning and what you're willing to compromise on is up for grabs. This is why I'd like to share with you, in dealing with Freedom Caucus members, Liberty Caucus members, caucuses, groups that are organized and operated by politicians, they're no good. The only organization, anybody can create this organization. We're telling you that you can create this organization for your county. Bottom line, it is the unorganized militia that is the first bastion of, or I should say, the first wave of patriotism that can actually affect the direction of America. But when we talk about the Freedom Caucus or the Liberty Caucus, I am here to tell you that they are playing politics with unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, powers, and property. And they don't care. And so if you have people that are a part of the Freedom Caucus, the Liberty Caucus, I don't care what the caucus is, any caucus, that organization is about compromise, and we do not need compromises anymore. We have to stop and end compromises. And to be clear, I can't say this emphatically enough. There is no room for politics under the Constitution on things that are not enumerated. And so what I'm basically going to tell you is we've got another petition done. The seventh petition is done. I'm still waiting for the sixth and the fifth and technically the fourth, because the fourth so as urgency comes, people are willing to sit down and, create an outline and create, a petition. And 9 times out of 10, I end up, getting it the rest of the way. And I don't care. It's not about me. As a matter of fact, we just did a petition and it's going to be posted, and we're going to have it so that all you've got to do is change the front end. So we're going to have color coding for the front end of this, as well as for the back end and all parts of state and or county. Now, this petition was done for South Dakota because the Citizens for Liberty is trying to actually go after the state legislature and everybody that has, signed on or voted for the digital currency bill that passed and that the governor vetoed. And the governor's position on vetoing, Kristi Noem, she can't be trusted, folks. I don't care what you think of her. She cannot be trusted. She is clearly a bureaucratic politician. And she's not a leader. She's only there to do what she's told. And they're the dangerous ones, because that's what we got with Biden. Biden's been doing what he's been told. He's been corrupt all along. And so it doesn't matter what side. I mean, look at McCain. McCain was a Republican, and by the time he died, he was a disgrace to the party, and he was clearly outed as a communist. And as the truth came out about that man and his career and his entire life, that man had no... He was overcome with moral turpitude. He had no scruples. And so when we look at the season coming up, these Feedback Fridays, just consider this time that I spend on Friday is really more of, you know, a brutal push, because I'm going to be coming at you. And it's a brutal push to convince you and motivate you to start really taking this content serious. We're going through the ratification debates, and as we clarify exactly what these things in the Constitution mean by these framers, James Wilson is going to be the primary household name for the next week plus, because we've got a lot of content to cover in the Pennsylvania debates. And then we go into the next one, which would be Massachusetts, and so forth and so on. And so you need to clearly understand that as you start embracing these definitions, as you learn and pick them up and start embracing them, you will have the epiphany that we've turned our backs on the Constitution. This is why, you know, I'm going to start going through all the groups lists that I have signed up with. All these conservative groups, a lot of them Second Amendment, some of them health freedom, but they're all myopic. And I'm going to basically leave these groups. I'm not going to have anything to do with them anymore. And I'm going to send a shot across the bow. And I want people to start seeing me calling people out, because, you know, it doesn't matter what the group is. Oh, yeah, well, at least you've got your guns, but we've lost our children. We've lost our future generation of babies. You know, we've lost our health. We've lost our liberty, but at least you got your gun, right? I mean, that's what's important, because that's all you care about. We have to care about every part of the Constitution and all the protections, because, you know, at least you got your gun, but you don't have your money anymore. And now that they've taken cash from you, now you're really out of luck, because you can't buy, because now they can actually make it impossible for allowing people to start buying guns. Because when you actually start putting pressure on businesses and companies and so forth, you know, gun manufacturers, not just gun manufacturers, but gun stores will have a real hard time, because the mechanism or the process of being able to buy a gun or sell a gun may be denied. In other words, these banks, you know, Citi and or MasterCard, American Express may come along and say, actually, whatever the credit company, as they move away from a cashless society, they take us into a cashless society and move away from cash, your ability to write a check, your ability to actually go and pay, that you have to use a digital currency, then they can actually shut all of these types of companies down. Well, they're not taking away your guns. You just can't buy anymore. You can't buy any more ammo. And therein lies the beginning of when people start realizing how money, our currency, is the most universal basis of property, because you can't obtain property without currency, and you can't liquidate property without currency. And moving to a digital currency means you no longer possess it, and you don't have the choice of how you can use it anymore. Because all they have to do is these institutions need to start saying, we're not going to let you use your money for these things. How can you stop them? You no longer possess any form of money. Money is power. And as they, because Anybody learns this. As a matter of fact, women used to teach this. My grandmother taught my mother that money is power. That's why, you know, because the women back in those days, they were the ones that ran the household. They were the ones that, you know, saved the money and bought things and, you know, paid for the vacations, those types of things. And so my grandmother taught my father's mother taught my mother how to manage money and how to use money as power. And so I want you to understand something, folks. You lose all your what would be considered tangible power by losing your currency. So got a lot of things to cover. And so what we want to do is, you know, I'm just going to kind of poke you a little bit, because actually, if you remember my interview with Mark Lerner last year, he came out and he said, and I agree with him, that Trump's legal woes will continue and continue and continue. And so the man is not a saint, and he has made compromises and so forth, and whether they're legal or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He is going to be going through what we would call a PR campaign that will make it hard for him to become president again. Now, folks, what we're getting you to start understanding and get your arms wrapped around and start embracing a PR campaign against every politician who will not support the Constitution. We need to make them miserable, and we need to make sure that next year, when it comes time to file, if they're up for re-election, that they think otherwise, that we kind of convince them, you know, you don't even support the Constitution. Here's all of the things that you're not doing and that you, you know, need to just stop. You know, go get a job, because we don't need you anymore. We're not going to vote for you. And when you get politicians to decide not to run again, now we're winning. Because now we actually have, you know, a better opportunity to ferret through. And now as we use a campaign on the Constitution, people start understanding the importance of the Constitution. They start understanding the importance of voting for somebody that embraces the Constitution and makes their campaign on fully supporting the Constitution. Because if they're supporting the Constitution, they're supporting your liberties. They're supporting freedom. And so what we're doing is we're using a massive PR campaign to help start to change the paradigm of the electorate in your county. We'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me kind of cover just a couple of obligatories. First off, we don't have the new videos or audios to go up to the YouTube channel, but we do invite you to subscribe. If you please go to the YouTube channel. Have you done it yet? If you listen and if you believe this content's important, then go ahead and sign up. Because as soon as we start going through these ratification debates, as a matter of fact, I've already got a few of them up. What I'm going to do this weekend is actually parse these. Now, I have not had time. It's been crazy hectic for me. and, you know, everybody wants more of my time. And that's okay. I understand that. And so as we move, and as I get to a point where I can no longer cram things into 1 week, I'll start pushing things for some groups into every other week. And then, you know, some, you know, maybe a monthly call for, you know, some or what have you, depending. But what we want to do, because I can only do so much, and what's really important is I have to make sure that those who are, because what you want to do is if you've got a group, a team that is firing on all cylinders and making good, you know, they're making their laps, you don't want to pull them into the pit too often. In other words, you don't want to basically suspend them. And so what that means is you want to make sure that, you know, you're working, or I'm working with them and keeping the momentum. And so, you know, it's a delicate balancing act. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that the groups that are moving, I want to make sure they're getting the support. And new groups you may be put into once every other week. And then as you start getting more organized, bringing more people in and, you know, getting things firing, then we'll start bringing you into once a week or what have you. And some of the once a week, you know, will slowly start dropping off because their need to understand things, well, they'll be past that because they do understand it. And, you know, there's stuff that's really pertinent that is really helpful. And then there's the friendly banter conversation, that type of stuff. And so, you know, I have to focus. And I know many of you realize that. And so, you know, anybody that has any business sense or has any, you know, time management sense, you know, you kind of understand you got to be really careful not to allow, you know, a time vampire to suck up your time. And so you want to keep things on schedule and so forth. And, you know, we all can be doing better. And one of the things that I learned when I was in the Marine Corps is better is the enemy of good enough. We have to start, you know, being a little more honest and saying, is this really good enough? Do you have what you need to where you don't need as much guidance? And, you know, peeling back the guidance. Because, see, if I was a person that wanted to own and control every group and own and control, you know, this whole movement, then, you know, I would not be wanting to, you know, kind of let you go, you know, pull, give you your own reins and let you start leading. So, you know, one of these, you know, I'm kind of showing to you that I'm not here for myself. I'm really here for you. And so I believe if I had, you know, a review list, in other words, like a resume or reference, you know, page, I am sure that the people that I work with will tell you because, you know, I don't charge, you know, and I, you know, friendly, cordial. These are good people. I mean, really righteous, good people. And so I think everybody's intent in their heart, in their minds, all of these people, I do not have problems. I do not have time vampires, but it's easy to do. Actually, I do on the personal side and in some other aspects. But anyway, but not of any of the people that I'm actually working with. And so if I had, like I said, a reference page, I'm sure you would find that, you know, the most people would say, you know, they would probably say something to the effect of, you know, what value they are getting for free. And it's not about what they pay for. It's what they do with. My payment comes from what you do with it. How you take it and apply that, you know, knowledge is power. As you apply that knowledge, that's when it translates into power. And that's my whole point. Creating very powerful leaders, then now we actually have what I would believe is the start of a movement that will be unstoppable. It will be a fire that once caught Once it gets a hold on the landscape, it will spread across this entire nation. And so all of that being said, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. And as you know, the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. So I've been on the record of talking, you know, about what we really need. Our paradigm in America needs to be a paradigm of sovereignty, you know, the concept of sovereign and independent states, all basically working together in a union on some very common things like our national defense or national sovereignty and so forth. And it's just amazing how we have now politicians, people that are in what we call the Liberty Caucus, Freedom Caucus, that are actually playing politics with our sovereignty. They're actually playing politics with our Constitution. Folks, wise up. You need to start really scrutinizing these people. I am calling out in South Dakota a person that actually stood up and said, hey, you know, we may not want to do this right now, because they didn't want to. See, this petition that we have demands that every person who voted for this very specific bill violated their oath of office, because the state cannot pass a bill that will actually establish a digital currency. They cannot do it. The Constitution forbids it. It's right there in Article 1, Section 10. And so the fact is that when we get pushback from a politician that says, hey, you know, we may not want to really do this right now. And that right there is a signal to say, you know, I don't want to hold people accountable, because then I'd have to hold myself accountable. That's how it goes. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that we need to start identifying who these people are and say, you know what? You're not of the right paradigm. It is all about compliance. It's one thing for somebody to come out and say, hey, I made a bad decision. We need to start helping people understand and say, you know what? I won't do this again. And now I absolutely understand. I can be accountable to everything. And I need to have a good, strong litmus test by using the Constitution to determine whether I vote and or support things. You know, you're going to love this bill, this petition. And what we want is you to start using this petition itself to start pressuring your governor and your state attorney general to sue any and every state that has passed these laws, and call for the removal of the governor and everybody involved in passing that law, everybody who supported it in the entire process. It's all recorded. Who voted for what? It's all recorded. And so this is a beautiful thing. We can actually say, sorry, you did the unforgivable. You've become an apostate and you have apostatized against the Constitution. It's tantamount to an insurrection. So I know the language is strong, but when it comes down to, you know, tolerance, there is no tolerance. If you violate the Constitution, these are the consequences. It's not strong if you claim that there are consequences to your actions and these are the consequences. And this is what must happen, because the South Dakota Constitution clearly states that anyone convicted. So the whole, when you read this, you'll actually go, wow. And you're going to want to start modeling. You need to understand. Look in your constitution, your state constitution. Do they have a clause that will allow you to remove your legislators if they are convicted or found to have violated their oath of office and are immediately removed and barred from ever being a public servant for the remainder of their life? If that kind of language, it's in Missouri, it's in Montana, it is in South Dakota, it is in Wyoming, is it in your state? I mean, and what I'd like to do is I'd like you, because I think I have Virginia too, and I haven't gone through Virginia, but I think even in Georgia, haven't gone through Georgia's. So, you know, if you have not done this, you need to go through your constitution and identify, you know, precisely what your constitution demands. This is how we begin, because how can we start holding people accountable to the constitution if we don't even know what your constitution says? Ah, now it all makes sense, right? And, you know, it is a pathetic indictment about our society when I actually hear politicians come right out and say, Heather Scott, a state legislator in Idaho, came right out and told me, I really don't understand the U.S. Constitution. It baffles me. And I go, are you kidding me? What the heck are you doing as a state legislator? And to me, friends, this is bad when we actually have people, and she's considered one of the better legislators in their state. To me, you cannot tolerate or allow any public servant, any legislator, any politician to use the art of compromise when it comes to the Constitution and things not delegated. In other words, if it's not delegated, you can't even play with it. You can't even compromise it. But we believe, everybody in America has just embraced this concept that government controls all things, and they don't. We have a limited and defined constitution, and the only things enumerated in our constitutions are the only things they can play with. Stop letting them play with these things. But they want to play with them, and they're going to continue to play with them. Even the Liberty Caucus wogs are doing it. Folks, it's time we start standing up. And it's time we actually put our finger, get some tape, wrap it around your fingers so that you can start doing some chest pumping and thumping people right there in the middle of their chest. We'll be right back after this.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one final obligatory that I still need to go through is that I've been telling you that we've been working, as a matter of fact, the past couple of weeks. Actually, I think it's this week has been the second week, so next week will be the third week and the final week. And this is why I kind of mention and want to remind you, better is the enemy of good enough. And I understand this. I profoundly understand this. As an integrator and so forth, I've got plenty of people where, you know, some guys, oh, I could do it better. We can make it better. If it functions and it works and, you know, it doesn't cause, you know, problems with what little, you know, outliers or some of the little byproducts, you know, if they're acceptable, then that's good enough for us to move forward. We can just create, you know, discrepancy reports regarding the other things that we need to do. But bottom line, better is the enemy of good enough. Because if you've got to get something deployed and you're on a very specific schedule, which we are, then we want to make sure that we're, you know, not holding things up for the wrong reasons. And with the system that we're going to be using for our national phone call, because, you know, I look at the We the People Foundation, And over a year ago, they were starting this concept of the We the People TV and, you know, doing things, and they haven't even gone live yet. You know, and I'm wondering, are they struggling over the better is the enemy of good enough, or are they really struggling over things that are important? Because it, you know, you get to a point where you get definitely a diminishing return because people start losing interest and what have you. But we're at a point now where, you know, people have become kind of familiar, but there's some things that we need to have our arms around, and the one guy that we need who actually has a lot of experience with this platform that we're using, I have not heard back from him. And I believe he listens to my show. So I believe he's listening to this. And so Mr. Montana, we need to work, you know, iron out some bugs this coming week so that, you know, those who are going to be administering the system will understand what to do and how to deal with a few things. And with that, we should be able to just kind of get things going and actually start our call. And if that's the case, let me see here. If that's the case, then we should actually have our first call. Well, what is that? That would be the 5th of April. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't the 1st of April. And so next week, if we actually get sometime next week, if we can do it, we'll do the 30th. But next week, we still need to make sure that the two folks, you know, the primary and secondary, because I want to make sure I've got, you know, all the bases covered so we can actually go and get this show done. And if something happens to the, you know, the primary, then the secondary will be able to just step right in and know what to do. The important thing is, and the reason why this is not something that's, you know, making it better, to have an understanding of the administration and how to control the communications is important. It's not just something that's getting a little better. And so I just want to make sure that we can minimize any potential disruption, any potential problem, because folks, I'm telling you that there's a lot of people that when they start understanding what Reclaiming the Republic does, they're not going to like it, and they're going to actually view this as their number one threat. I am surprised that at the Southern Poverty Law Center hasn't come after us, you know, and I'm surprised that people have tried to label me and this movement as a racist movement. It's not. You know, we deal with the facts, you know, and some of the facts are, you know, there have been historical racial problems, and there are still some, you know, but whether it's an overwhelming thing or not, that all depends on the environment and where we're operating. And so, or, you know, one of the old albums that I had, it was Harry Nilsson. It was called The Land of Point. And one of the lessons that it taught, because it was a child album, and they came out with a cartoon, and I was a little kid, but actually I was a teenager at the time, and it was probably a little young or juvenile for me, but, you know, I just appreciated as a musician, I appreciated what he was doing and how he was taking his art into, you know, this moral story of the Land of Point. And if you've never heard of this, you should probably check it out. You could probably get the video right there on YouTube. It's by Harry Nilsson. But anyway, he, you know, some of the profound things he says is that a point in every direction is like no point at all. But even though it has a point, it has multiple points. But the other thing that he also talked about is, you know, he talks about there's this paradigm. You see what you want to see and you hear what you want to hear. And so we have to be aware of the fact that there are people that have been wired, whether we like it or not, they have been wired to think in the paradigm of race. They've been wired to think in the paradigm of racism and or, you know, social justice and wokeism and so forth. And it's very easy for them to be triggered. And when we're dealing with such an illogical, irrational group of people in our society today, you know, and I tell you that race is a real problem, it absolutely is a problem because people have been wired in making it that problem. And one of the things I would invite you to do, because I know that a lot of people have, you know, probably heard, because yesterday was the anniversary, I believe it was yesterday, was the anniversary of Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death. And so if you've never read that, you never heard that, you know, the whole concept of having honest, open dialogue and expression and the freedom of expression and how paramount that is, that when you start basically trying to control a conversation to where, you know, you start invoking, you can't use those words, you can't say those things. Then we're losing the battle when it comes to liberty. And that was, I believe, you know, when we kind of look at what the framers were dealing with, we're dealing with much of the same things. But, you know, we have the same problems that they had. The problem was that they were equally informed compared to us today. In other words, our problem is that we're not all equally informed. They understood the Constitution far better than we did. There were many that made a lot of hyperbole and used a lot of rhetoric regarding the Constitution, but that didn't necessarily fly, and that didn't necessarily mean, you know, it didn't stick, is what I'm trying to say. So let me get into the one thing, because I had a few comments, and I actually had a conversation with a new listener in Idaho, and I'm really trying. If you know people in Idaho, you need to basically just push them towards Reclaiming the Republic, start listening to this show, so that we can start getting engaged with them, because it is pretty sad that Idaho, you know, as populated and as red as they claim to be, is the furthest thing. I mean, they're not even close. They're not close to actually standing up and starting a movement of liberty. They're ensconced in their little myopic worlds of, you know, school liberty, or, you know, getting, you know, taking control of the classroom or taking control of, you know, health or the Second Amendment. They are ensconced in their myopic problems and issues. But anyway, one thing I really need to talk about, and I think that this is, you've heard me talk about this, that war and or a direct engagement with China is coming. You can't see somebody that is ardently working to replace every facet of America and actually to consume every part of the United States. That's what they're out to do. They're out to destroy us. And there was a really good intelligence book that talked about their strategy in the early 2000s. I think it was 1999, 2000 timeframe when that book came out. And everybody in our company was, you know, privy to it. And it, as a part of our security education, we wanted everybody to understand, you know, just how aggressive China was going to become. Because I remember in the 90s, when Bill Clinton was the president of the United States, China couldn't even hit the broad side of a continent with an intercontinental ballistic missile. Look at where they are today. They're in this position thanks to Bill Clinton giving them that technology. He took a mothballed airplane, a military airplane production facility, it was mothballed. He packed it all up and sent it to China. He has done more to empower our enemy to be able to be where they are today than any other one single person. But Biden is really bending over backwards or bending over the barrel for him. And I'm going, you know what? What a whore. Seriously, what a prostitute. Anyway, we have either, whether you like it or not, we have either a war or a direct engagement with China. It's coming. We have a choice. And so the choice is we maintain our status quo or we change our paradigm. And you've heard me talk about the paradigm. There's only one paradigm where America actually becomes integral and liberty becomes integral in the world. And it's not going to happen overnight. It'll take a long time, but that's only because it'll take a long time for China to go through its revolution and move towards liberty. The people of China want their liberty. They want to be, you know, freed. They want a revolution. Tiananmen Square was just one of those well-documented evidence that the people are not happy. You know, and China has been basically trying to placate them. But there's been lots of Chinese that have died lately, and China doesn't care. And it's telling their people that they don't care because you can't do anything about it. Well, I believe that America can make the right position and state the right assertions to actually impact them directly. We'll be with that and cover that right after this.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so you already know what I'm going to say. What America needs to do is it needs to lean forward, and it needs to basically tell the world that if you, the people of whatever nation you are a part of, and you are ready to embrace liberty and get away from the theocratic government that you have, whether that be Islam, whether that be communistic, because communism is a theology, then you can petition and apply to become a state in the United States. And we need to articulate, Congress needs to really delineate what that criteria is. And there needs to be some very rigid standards. As a matter of fact, the state legislators really need to be looking at what they expect Congress to do. And if Congress doesn't do that, then they need to act. Because this is where Republic Review comes in. This is where the state legislatures can go, no, 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 no. You're not doing it. You have only these powers given to you. And so you have to dictate and enumerate to any of these new states that they have to have this, 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 and this. They just don't get rubber stamped to become a state so that we can put them on welfare. You can't put them on welfare. No state in the union currently and no state joining the union will receive welfare. And so some states will not be able to actually be an independent state. When we look at most of the islands of the Pacific and of the Atlantic, they can't be an independent state because they need too much more to actually function. They would be like a county. And so we would have, you know, the Pacific Islands would be one nation that would actually, you know, and maybe eventually split it to Northern Pacific and Southern Pacific, you know, nations. And That way, you know, we actually have a proper apportionment of both the people and, you know, representation and so forth. But bottom line, you got to understand that when you form the state, the counties actually control the state. So these islands like Samoa, Guam, you know, and so forth, the islands themselves are these state islands like the Philippines. What is that, 1,000 islands? There's a lot of people there, but that's, you know, it's still small. But the point is that they would be a county or two or three counties as they divide themselves up. And they would become a part of a large state. But we want to make sure that everybody understands that because we have to be very clear. We're no longer going to be subsidizing globalism. We're no longer subsidizing the UN. We're no longer subsidizing communism in the world. We're done. If you don't want to become a state in the United States, but you still want to play in the global arena, then you need to start subsidizing the UN and all of these globalist polities out there. Because no international agency or polity is going to be hosted on American soil, like the World Economic Forum, the WHO, the World Health Organization, or the International Banking Systems, all of these different agencies and entities, we're done. We're no longer going to be subsidizing and propping these things up. So to be clear, you know, everybody's going to have to pay their fair share to be a part of this globalistic plan, or they can come in and maintain their sovereignty and become a part of the greatest union, the greatest republic ever created in the history, in the annals of mankind. And so in so doing, folks, what will end up happening is these draconian states, China, Russia, and some of these Islamic states, maybe Saudi Arabia and so forth, the people, you know, there's a lot of people. It'll take a while in some of the Islamic states just because, you know, they don't see all of the problems that they have. But all of a sudden, down the road, when we actually have energy strategies that will downplay and actually make fossil fuels and, you know, at least oil itself to be almost obsolete, we don't need these things. And there's an easy way. I actually had a business plan. It was a 20-year plan to move America away from without having to go to an EV using hydrogen, folks. The technology is more than there. The problem is the manufacturers and everybody else wants to make sure that they can still, it's like a subscription. When you buy a car, the people who are subsidizing the car manufacturing are the energy companies who want to make sure that they get that money, that subscription money from you. And they don't care how long that car works. You know, if it's a 5-year car or what have you, like the old Japanese cars, you know, okay, it burns out. And it goes to the dump. It goes to this junkyard, you know, where it gets, you know, wrecked and, you know, recycled as metal or what have you. But the point that I'm trying to make is that there's been collusion and the government has been involved in all of this. Why is it that we have to have alcohol in our gasoline? Because the unconstitutional politicking in Congress mandated that ethanol become a part of our energy system, where we now grow in America more corn for energy purposes than for feeding the people, which is stupid. And it subsidizes it. It only raises the cost. When we could get completely away from ethanol and get completely away from petroleum altogether and no longer have these pollutants. What's the pollution from hydrogen? Nothing. It just puts, you know, steam in the air. which is a natural vapor that actually forms. It's called clouds, right? Anyway, we have the ability to actually start making substantial changes and actually start moving to where we're no longer, what I would say, subjugated by energy companies, because energy is just as nefarious in our lives as the medical industry, big pharmaceutical, big tech. They are all becoming nefarious entities. And we actually either have to come, we all have to come to the table and really have these honest conversations to say, you really, you want to allow, there's some important conversations that have to be had. How much wealth is okay, and how much power for one person? Because, you know, we may not be able to, and it may be wrong, and you know, to have compulsion over how much wealth a person has, but I truly believe that we better cap power where no person has the power to control a great body of people. When we look at those who are in our, you know, political offices, they are our political servants. They are our public servants. And if we keep the relationship proper, that they work for us, not for themselves, and we hold them accountable to the Constitution, that's how we get them to work for us. And it's the same thing as citizens. We all have to be functioning within that, which means that we have to apply disciplines for ourselves. What happens is some people just fall into a situation like the Rockefellers or the Kennedys or what have you. It doesn't matter. The Gates, all of these people who we look at as key global influencers, they should not have that type of influence. As a matter of fact, they should not be able to use their money, and they should not be able to use their clout in any way in our elections or in our representation and in our politics. We need to start really definitizing and drawing lines to say, you know, you may have all that money, you may have all that wealth, but you can only possess so much. So here's what it comes down to, because really, when we really look at what's on the table for the rich and the, I'll just say the opulent, the person that, you know, just has everything and they want to have everything. The day may have to come where we actually realize that you can only own a certain amount of property, and that the people that are land rich may be farmers. The people that are land rich may be ranchers, and that they, you know, are making and competing, and they're making their living that way. But the day that we have people that are so rich from software, from telephone subscriptions, what have you, and they buy up the land that where we're supposed to be growing food, and they stop the production of food, we can no longer allow people to actually engage in warfare tactics against our society. And that's what Gates is doing. That's what these globalist entities, that's what China is doing. We can no longer allow these types of things to exist in our society. We have to get to the table and we have to have these conversations, because realistically, no society and no people are safe when it comes down to the lust of power and the application of it. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.